This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about brew lights at the Lincoln Park Zoo. We're talking about Guinness, Sketchbook Brewing in Evanston, Alarmist, and then there are a ton of events that you need to get tickets for, especially all the events happening for New Year's Eve at an insane amount of breweries around the city. All that and more on this week's episode.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it is chilly out there.
You know, it's December in Chicago, man. What do you want? What do you mean? What are you going
to
do?
All right. Good thing we have delicious beer to warm up with.
Seasonal at that.
Yeah.
It's just the beauty of the craft movement. Local and seasonal,
Always new beers popping up. Yeah. We're always drinking pretty much a new beer on every episode of Chicago Beer Pass for, the last 5 years? There's been few repeats.
Yeah.
And we continue this.
Impressive, actually.
This week, this is the Catch Me If You Can. It's a Sketchbooks Gingerbread Brown Ale, a Bitter Pops collaboration.
Yeah, man. Where is Bitter Pops? That's over by Half Acre, right? In Lincoln Square?
I believe so. I've never been to Bitter Pops, but yes.
It's a beer shop. PPE?
A shoppy?
Shoppy? It's a beer shoppy?
This beer I picked up at the Sketchbook Brew Tap Room.
Right on.
Get into that in a few minutes, but I saw that they had posted that this was recently canned and it was over there, so I was like, all right, I'm going to pick this up. Perfect one for Nick and I to drink to get in the season, and it is delicious.
Yeah, I love the can, first of all, with the trees and the ornaments up top. Mm-hmm. And then, this beer is great. Brown ale base. We've been, I tell you, I had a Great Lakes Christmas ale, and it's nothing like this. It's it's more spice forward.
We had the Bell's Best Brown recently.
Bell's Best Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm digging this more than I dug the Great Lakes Christmas ale. Whoa. So I'm excited.
Yeah, this doesn't have any of that too heavily spice. It says gingerbread brown ale, but I'm not getting a lot. Maybe a little in the aroma, but you're not getting like that gingerbread spice, any of that nutmeg. For me, it could be that it's too cold, but
yeah,
maybe if it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, initially, you're right. Yeah, it's all playing in the background. Mm-hmm. But I had what did I have this week? Moody Tongues, bourbon barrel aged gingerbread stout.
Okay.
And it was the same thing. I'm like, well, I don't know how much gingerbread I'm supposed to get, but it's in the name. I just wanted more.
Yeah. No, great beer if you can pick it up at probably Bitter Pops or the Sketchbook Tap Room. Do it. I think it's a holiday hit.
Yeah, this is nice. I like it a lot.
Cool. Well, that dives into or leads into our past week.
Right on.
I'll get to Sketchbook, but first I want to mention Brew Lights.
Yeah, man, the 5th annual Brew Lights. We dedicated a whole show to it.
Right, and then last week's episode we kind of talked about it a little more, gave a little rundown, and then it was here.
Right on.
And it was very, very cold.
I mean, I don't know what it is. We complain about things being too far, and we complain about it when it's too cold. It's, mm-hmm. It's strange because, we're not visitors.
Yeah.
I mean, but cold is cold. I tell people all the time, man, if it's 10 degrees, it's 10 degrees. And I don't care how many times you see 10 degrees.
Yeah.
It's still 10 degrees.
And the temperature or the weather, that is nothing Lincoln Park can control, the zoo can control. No one's controlling that. So, that is not a slight against this festival at all. But that day, it was cold. I just can't. That is the key factor of,
We're leading with the weather here.
Right. And to add it, I biked there from my house.
You're nuts, man. You are insane.
So, what was that? About 4 miles. I'm already cold.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest thing to do.
You told me not to bike because it was ice out.
Yeah, it wasn't icy that day.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm good. I biked today. No ice. When there's ice, be careful.
But. All right.
So I was already cold going into it. I'm like, as soon as I got there, I was like, that was dumb. Like, I should have just took a Lyft or Uber and got here.
Man.
Warm and ready to drink. But I did it.
Right on.
There was one other bike there. No one biked there. But, yeah, you get in, you get your glass, then you have a map that lays out all the locations of beer and lights and, I guess, places to warm up.
Right on.
I just put this in my pocket because I don't know where anything in the zoo is, and I just kind of, like, wandered.
Yeah, you just stroll. Yeah.
So first stop, there was a couple beer stations. I think there was green and blue stations throughout, and then the barrel-aged section. So one station had stone stuff. It had Founders things. And then another station had some Sweetwater, Goose Island, Virtue. And then I think there was one more station, maybe a red station. But And there was you get up there, there are about six or seven beers at each station.
Yeah.
You just have a sign when you get up there. So then you have everyone pouring, and you just have to say, I will take this beer, because you have no idea, like, which person has which beer. So someone has to be like, oh, right here, or, oh, it's that guy in the purple hat. He's pouring. So that was kind of rough.
Oh, so you go to a station, and you can't get all – you can't get all the beers?
You can, but there's a sign, like, in the front of the station, like, here's what's available.
Right.
Then you get up to where they're pouring – you don't know who has what beer.
Are they pre-poured?
They're all pre-poured into
into
like
pitchers. Like
beer pitchers.
Yeah,
but that's a little like it's just like I don't know where to go. Like who has the parka porter?
Yeah,
and it's like oh it's that guy. Okay, it just felt like unnecessary. Like why don't you just put the signs where the beer is? But you have a person directing. I don't know. It's weird. That was awkward.
Or maybe if the pitchers, you know, had like a label or something, right? Mm-hmm. Or even just like a marker. Like, yeah.
Because basically they had like this person who was directing you where, like, you're like, oh, pigeon or.
Guy did pigeon porter?
Parked and porter. Oh. No, they didn't have that.
Who makes parka porter?
That's New Goose Island beer.
Oh, okay. Right on.
He takes your ticket and tells you, oh, that guy has it. Because there's still tickets. Not very often people were taking tickets because it was so cold, so no one was like...
Like, take your beer, go.
Just, yeah, no one was like, oh, let me find my ticket here.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I felt like there was never enough stations. I know we talked about it last time on the episode that they had more stations this year.
I think it was something like 17 or so.
Yeah, and when you went, you had the, I guess, complaint about it previously, like years ago, right?
Yeah, I'd say maybe like maybe 2-3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I love the intent of the party, and I love that venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing to pull off.
Yeah,
because when the weather's not that great. I mean, it's just like Dark Lord Day, right? Like Dark Lord Day was the last day of April forever. And then now it's consistently like year three coming up where it's going to be, you know, like what, Mother or Father's Day? Mother's Day weekend usually.
Yeah.
Like the end, like mid-May, end of May. Just because April 20th was just such a painful date for so many years.
Okay.
You know, weather-wise, it was tough.
Yeah. You know, maybe there was enough stations, but when it's cold and you're waiting to get a beer, mm-hmm. it feels way longer. Like that might have been 20 people, but it felt like 100 people.
I tell you, man. So, you know, I went to Prop Day 2 years ago, and it was painfully cold like that. And we're Chicagoans, so shame on us for complaining about the fucking weather. But whatever, it's fucking cold. Hey, but they had bonfires, and I was actually cool with smelling like, you know, smoked wood. I was cool with that because, you know, we needed it.
Yeah.
So it was like whatever. Bring on the bonfire.
Right. This at least, you know, there's lots of good to this event. Like the lights are awesome.
Yeah.
You're drinking in the zoo. There are places to warm up constantly. It's not a bonfire. It's not heating lamps. They're like indoor buildings. Like
See that? There you go.
So you can get your beer and go inside. And that's great. Like that's awesome. I think they should move or somehow put a couple of the beers, like the big like Goose Islands or the bigger brands, in those buildings. Like, man... maybe there's a 312 station or that Parker Porter. Like, it's a fine beer, but it's maybe not one I want to wait in line for, but if it's inside and I can just grab it and stay warm for a minute, I might be down for that.
Were there any, did any of the indoor stations have beer?
There was no, that I saw, no indoor beer stations.
Okay.
There was just bathrooms and people just standing in them, either trying to see the animals or just trying to warm up.
Yeah.
Then there was the barrel age section, which we talked about. We were kind of hyped for.
That was the newest feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got there, I think, an hour after it opened, and that was about the time when the barrel age section was opening. I headed there because I was like, oh, if Nick is anywhere, he's probably
That's the first place I would have went.
So I'm like, oh, maybe I can cut in line here and get some.
Be like, hey!
But that line, apparently they had some sort of delay, either issues with the keg system or kegs weren't there yet. So that hadn't started moving, and the line was incredibly long.
I queued up, waiting.
I walked the whole thing just being like, oh, how long is this? Where is this going?
Yeah.
And no, but at some point, it started to move, and the beer was flowing. But I was like, I am too cold. I'm not going to wait in line.
Yeah.
I can't even look at my phone because it's too cold. It's one of those things where it's like,
I don't even know what's happening online right now.
Yeah, I'm going to stand here and drink my beer that's also cold.
Yeah.
But they had hot chocolate, so you could warm up. They had food. The lights are awesome. Great selection of beer.
Yeah.
I had that Parker Porter. I had the Sweetwater. I want to say the new one that uses hemp.
The Hemperer?
The Stone. Not
that's
the Stone
that's Sierra Nevada, the Hemperer.
The Sweetwater.
Or that's New Belgium, the Hemperer,
sorry. The G313 or whatever they're calling
it. The new Sweetwater beer?
Yeah.
I like Sweetwater.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah. And then I had a...
Sweetwater was at the Grateful Dead show. Surprise.
Okay. Makes sense. Then I had a coffee beer from someone. So I only had a few beers. And then I was out.
Yeah.
It's a cool event, I think. If you could get above 30, you're great. When you're under 30, it's a little dangerous. Or it's just rough.
What can you... Other than indoor state, other than serving some beers indoors... Like, I mean, there's not a lot you can do to accommodate the weather, you know?
No, yeah.
Yeah. unless maybe there's, like, some kind of, you know, temporary, like, you know, hot heat lamp
Yeah,
situation.
Some heat lamps could have been cool. They did have an ice carver. That was awesome. Like not warm, but...
Yeah, like a couple of heat lamp stations that kind of serve as, like, little outdoor gathering areas. Like, you know, something like that.
Yeah, to keep people outside, because those insides were packed, especially any of the insides that had a bathroom also. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just... packed, the doors were constantly opening, so the building wasn't really that warm.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's still the best excuse to go see the lights that I have. Yeah, I've never seen the lights unless it was at Brew Lights.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's cool. I would go back as long as it's maybe a little warmer, but it's a great event. Like I think they're improving it every year and it just continues to get better, and so not having any basis to be like, oh, yeah, in 2015 it was like this, but now look at what they did. I'm just like, this is my first one.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the – maybe pouring indoors a little bit. That'd be something that you could change, I guess. Yeah,
but totally different crowd. A lot more Linkin Park kind of people. Like, I don't know how – like, they weren't beer – they weren't necessarily beer people.
It's not your traditional beer crowd. But, you know, Brew Year's Eve is like that, too.
Yeah.
Where it's not the typical circuit of folks you see. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Yeah. Introduce more people to a lot of these brands. So very cool. But that was Brew Lights. Enough on that.
I'm opening another Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. Go for it.
All I think about is that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio was the fraudulent... pilot, like the airplane. That's the only thing I think of.
It's probably based off of that.
That was a great movie.
That was a good movie. I'm surprised they didn't like tap into that artwork a little more for this can.
Yeah. But, right on. So you went up to Sketchbook?
I did. I was doing some shopping. I saw that they posted they have these little 4-pack gift boxes.
Nice.
So you could put either 4 beers in it. You could put one beer and 3 glasses, like any sort of combination of 4 things.
Oh, from
Sketchbook. Okay. So I was getting a gift for a family member, We got them one glass and three beers.
Nice.
So then I get a bonus beer because you have to buy, like, you buy the four packs yourself. So, yeah. And so you could do just, if you're sending it to, like, a couple, you could do two glasses and two beers kind of thing. But we felt he would want more beer than glassware.
Yeah.
So I saw they posted on that. That's an awesome thing because it comes in a little box.
Yeah.
You could ship it even though you're not supposed to, but it's easy to wrap, and yeah, it's nice. So I went up there mainly for that.
Was this your first sketchbook trip?
No, I had been up there once or twice before.
Yeah.
And then I knew that this beer got canned, so I grabbed that. I also had their oyster stout called, like, briny stout, I want to say. That was pretty nice because it was still, I want to say, early afternoon. And I could, in that Bloody Mary zone. So I was like, oh, oyster stout sounds pretty good.
I haven't had an oyster stout in a long time.
I know, especially in the Midwest. Like, why?
Yeah. But. Yeah, I know Floyd's made one. I know, man, what's that crew? That crew from New York.
Blue Point.
Yes, and Blue Point makes one. And I want to say Schlafly makes one.
Right.
Or, yeah, I think it is Schlafly. I think Schlafly does a huge party for it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But, yeah, this one's cool. It says on the menu, contains shellfish. So, for anyone who's allergic to that.
In case you're confused, you know.
There is oysters in there.
Yeah.
I don't really know how the process of the oyster stout is brewed, but.
Me either.
Yeah. But it was great. Tasty beer.
Right on.
And then from there, rolled over to Alarmist. They had just canned one of their new beers. I am totally blanking on the
name. Let's Get Physical? The Brewed IPA?
Nope.
No?
I even picked up cans of it. You know that, it was their oatmeal. It was an oatmeal stout.
No, it's oatmeal. Oat Shakers.
Not, pale ale. Yeah, not, but it was an oatmeal stout.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty tasty. Or no, I didn't try it. I have cans of it. But I ended up getting a pint of the Dorado Fields. That's the all El Dorado hopped New England IPA. So yeah, that was tasty. And I grabbed myself a Le Juice.
Le Juice?
Pin.
Oh, the pin?
A little.
Like to Impulsion is the oatmeal stout. No, that's from 2015. Yeah. Onerous is an oatmeal stout too.
Okay. A little embossed Le Juice pin.
Then Skewmageddon. Man, they got like three oatmeal stouts. Skewmageddon's another oatmeal stout.
Yeah, I'd have to check their, maybe their Instagram or something like that.
Skewmageddon's a wild name.
Yeah, but, yeah, so from Sketchbook to Alarmist, and then I was good. I was like, all right, time to head back home.
Right on.
After we recorded last week, you went out and got some Guinness, speaking of oatmeal stouts. And by the way,
was this Skewmageddon?
No, it's the Onerous.
Onerous, yeah.
Yeah, so that's their oatmeal stout in cans right now. But speaking of stouts, you left here last week and went and bought and drank the classic, the king, I want to say.
I think it's, I think, you know, as much as Bourbon County has done for barrel-aged stouts, I think Guinness is the stout, if we're talking.
Done it for dark beers.
Yeah, I think, and then, you know, they'll tell you how they popularized this term stout, you know.
Cause really?
It's a stouty porter is what it referred to, and then it just was called stout.
Oh.
Yeah, based on, but Guinness was doing 1759, I believe, is when they started doing that.
Okay.
The Guinness folks are good people to know. Always have a good time with them. You know, every time I see them at a fest, we chat them up.
Nice.
You know, yeah, this was a, they called it the Guinness Supper Club. So it was a four-course dinner, man, at a place called, like, Creative Concepts. So it's across the street from, it's on Halsted, across the street from Blues and Kingston Mines. It's just this nondescript building that kind of looks like it could just be, like, a, you know, like a showroom for, like, you know, furniture and shit.
So it's like events, like anyone could rent it out sort of thing?
Yeah, it's like a two-floor event space with a kitchen.
Mm.
It's actually a pretty slick space.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Guinness Supper Club featuring celebrity chef Jeff Morrow. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not big on celebrity chefs. I mean, other than Iron Chef Stephanie Izard.
Right.
I don't know who the other celebrity chefs are.
We got Rick Bayless and Stephanie Izard. That's
it for me. I don't know the other celebrity chefs.
Wolfgang Paul,
the old school ones, like Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah, like those, but like.
like the new generation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm too busy out drinking, man. I don't even really watch.
Right, if they're not involved in beer, we don't know that.
We don't know, man. Oh, but yeah. So apparently, I've heard of his spot, Pork and Mindy's.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's his spot.
That's his spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I know the spot.
I've never gone in there. I've wondered how it was, and I've wondered how it stayed open for so long.
Same. It's right on, is that Milwaukee? No, is that Damon?
No, that's Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah, it's so Milwaukee. It's on Milwaukee near
just north, shy north of the Six Corners, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So so this was new for me. Everything he rolled out was really cool. I was kind of bummed out that, at the end of the night, they gave you a really cool takeaway gift with, like, you know, some Guinness gift wrap and then, like, all the recipes from the event. But, you know, you didn't really know. He would mention what you were having, but you couldn't really read about it during the event. But it was cool. I got it afterwards, which was cool. Showed a second picture of it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was four courses. And, you know, kudos to them, man, because they pulled it off, you know, with all stouts. It was a four-course stout dinner. You know, Black is Beautiful. It was great.
Every – which – just Guinness stout or which versions of – yeah. The Guinness stout. Like,
right.
That's what that was. It the extra foreign? Was it the.
Yeah. So it's OG Guinness, extra foreign. And then the Guinness blonde. It's actually foreign extra, they call it.
Right, that's so, not a stout.
No, foreign. No. Sorry. Guinness blonde.
Yeah. That's a blonde, not a
that's
stout.
A blonde. That's not a stout. So that was the welcome beer.
Oh, okay.
The welcome beer was a Guinness stout.
A moosh boosh?
Is that what open beer is?
No, that's like a food taster, right? Palate cleanser.
Yeah. I don't know that term, man.
A moosh boosh.
A moosh boosh. So Guinness Extra Stout, Guinness Drought. I'm blanking on another one. But then the final beer was the Guinness Barrel Aged Stout. This was their. This is the first time they ever put. Well, you know, before stainless steel, all beer was in wooden cask.
Yeah.
But just as a vessel. But this is the first time they intentionally put beer in a barrel that held another spirit, the way Americans like a barrel aged beer, the way Americans barrel age beer.
Right. Not just the store.
Right. Right.
For flavor.
For flavor. Right. So their partner of choice was Bullet, and I think there's a partnership there because they're both carried by Diageo. Mm. Which is you know, the brands on both, so that was the that was the last beer.
Nice.
And it's really the only beer I hadn't had yet, you know. So apparently they only made like 3,000 cases of this worldwide.
Oh wow.
A couple of notes on the you know, I was really excited about the blonde. The blonde is being produced in Maryland now, you know.
Okay.
So for the first time in 6 years, there's a Guinness brewery on American soil, mm-hmm. and it's in Maryland. And they changed the recipe a little bit on the blonde. So
okay. The
blonde's got a little more hot bite to it, a little spicier than before.
Oh, nice.
Where the blonde that was coming from overseas was like kind of how we describe 312, where it's kind of lighter and fruitier and really kind of like softer on the palate. Yeah. So, those were the beers, man. And then the food was great. There was the BLT is the one that sticks out. Because it had like this Irish soda bread, which was very similar to brioche, but a little more dense, almost like a yeast donut, almost, right?
Yeah, Irish soda bread is like, it's tough. Like, there's no other way to describe that. Hardy. Maybe I should say hardy.
Hardy is a good word.
Not tough.
Because this was like, you know, it was somehow like, you know, it was firm, but it was doughy, you know, and it was good. And it was like, buttery, it was good. Yeah, that was probably my favorite dish, the BLT with turkey and bacon.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. It was fun catching up with the good folks at Guinness, man. I haven't had the Jim Beam copper lager with Budweiser, that collaboration. Mm. I haven't had that yet.
Okay.
But this was the only other like big brand barrel-aged beer that I was curious about. So I'm glad I got to try it. And, you know, I would get this beer again, man. It's 10%, but it's got such low bitterness and it's just so easy drinking for 10%. And then it's, you know, how can you say it? It's a much more rewarding experience than drinking, like, Guinness. You know what I mean?
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, or maybe I'm just a lush and I just want, you know, I just want something with a little more body, a little more everything, you know?
Okay. Nice. So when are we headed to Ireland.
Yeah, man, we need to get over to Ireland. So I was asking him, like, the brand ambassador, he hadn't been for 2 years.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I was like, dude, I want to go. The first dish was a take on all the dishes were really good. We'll post the dishes on what they had.
Okay, sounds
yeah.
good.
But it was like it was updated versions of like traditional Irish fare with an Italian twist because our chef's Italian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it was good. So it was like a blend. It was like an ode to some of the things you would traditionally have with Guinness, but then it was also, since he's a sandwich shop essentially, mm-hmm. it was a showcase for some of his sandwiches too.
Cool.
Yeah, and a nice dessert dish too, so. Nice. I really enjoyed it. The space, and I give them a lot of credit, man, because they're always taking us to spaces I had never even heard. I didn't even know existed. I was telling them that. Mm-hmm. And I think they do a good job of like, I mean, 1759, they're old,
yeah.
right? And I was like, dude, for some reason, man, you know, you guys are, they're considered, I consider them to be vintage, not really like old man old. Like when you think about like American craft beer, right? You think of Boston, Boston Beer Company, mm-hmm. Sam Adams or Sierra Nevada or, you know,
really Anchor,
just, or
yeah.
Anchor. You're like, man, those are old brands.
old craft brands.
They're yeah. old craft brands, yeah. right? There's nothing necessarily vintage about them. But this is, Guinness figured out how to be timeless. I don't really consider them old, you know?
Right, because then you have the, like, Schlitz, Pabst, old style. That's yeah. old man beer.
Yeah, Hams, right? Yeah.
So there's no American beer that's, like, right before that. Maybe Budweiser would be like it's around the same time period, but they have that brand that maybe would be the closest. I want to say the closest. I'm not saying they are, just the closest, right?
Yeah, and it's, I want to say, and I probably got the
dates. Straddles that old line, old man / classic.
Yeah, and I want to say they were the top selling beer in the world until 1959 or so, when Budweiser really started rolling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay.
But they were like, yeah, man, you know, songs have been written about us. You know, we're a different kind of brand.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It's always cool to revisit them. You know, I don't really feel like I'm drinking beer from these guys that have been around forever. It's kind of like, oh, it's just hanging out with an old friend.
Yeah. And the best part about Guinness is they also do new stuff, where you could think of like Heineken. They are maybe that like classic brand. They're just making Heineken. They're not trying to make new Heineken or anything else. It's just Heineken.
It was interesting, man, because the Hop Review was there, man. So shout out to Tom White and Jack Meldowney. Got to hang out with them.
Nice.
And they were both on the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Guinness made it a point. He was like, it wasn't the – he was like, back in the day, the original Guinness, right, the Arthur Guinness recipe for Guinness, that's not the beer that really put them on the map. It was the It was the extra foreign stout. He said in the beginning, like, Guinness wasn't available in bottles. The publican at the bar put your beer in a bottle for you. Guinness was just a draft beer.
Oh, okay.
You know, so the first interpretation that people had outside of the beers on draft was something that, you know, all these guys that were pouring the beers at bars was putting in bottles for people.
Oh, funny. You
know? He was like, they didn't really get like worldwide recognition until they did the extra foreign stout, which was a little bit heavier ABV. And then they realized that, you know, they would tweak their stout depending on the audience. So the Antwerp stout, for example, is something that happened after, I think, Belgium had some war or something. I get my stories mixed up.
But sure. Okay.
There was some kind of war in Belgium, and they made a beer for Belgium after their war.
Okay.
But anyway, that's a different version. You know, it's like it's got a little more sweetness to it. It's got a little more chocolate to it.
Mm.
Oh, and then that's actually the version that the American Guinness put into the barrels for the barrel-aged stout.
Okay.
It's not the original Guinness. It's the Antwerp stout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can we?
And I want to say we had that beer that night too. That might have been the fourth one I'm missing.
Oh, can we or me or average people buy the barrel aged Guinness? Like, how can we get it?
Yes. So they're in I've seen them in single bottles at stores. You know how they do like Cafe Death and all those other beers. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in single bottles, but I want to say they're in four packs, maybe even six packs. But really limited supply, like 3,000 is not a lot of cases.
All right.
For the whole country, you know.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. All right.
So yeah, but if you're taking a beer to a party, right, and you want something cool, approachable, there's so many different types of Guinness. There's a milk stout. There's an Antwerp stout. There's extra, foreign extra. there's so many versions of it.
Especially a family party too, where they might not know a sketchbook.
Right.
They're like, oh, Guinness? I'm willing to try that.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. That looks like that's Nick's fancy beer. Right. But Guinness, okay, I'll give that a try.
Yeah. And the Guinness barrel-aged stout was better than I was expecting.
Oh, cool.
So I enjoyed it. And yeah, and I like going to a new space for an event too. Nice. So yeah, so that was the Guinness party.
Awesome. Sounds good. Was that all you made it to?
That is low-key? That is all I did, man.
Low-key week. All right, nice. Well, then that leads us into what's happening this week.
Yeah, man. What's going on? What's going on in these streets, Brad?
Well, I know the can release and that craze just continues.
Yeah.
Noon Whistle is releasing another one of their gummy series on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They have an entire, December calendar set up already. I believe there's certain days, too, if you bring in a canned good, you get $1 off your pint. Mm-hmm. Someone else is doing that too. I am blanking on who it is, but there's a couple other bars that are also doing like canned good things. Oh, it's Half Acre.
Okay.
They're doing that on certain days. So yeah, Noon Whistle can release Saturday. I might go pick up some cans. It's one of the gummies.
Dude,
we haven't had Noon Whistle in a long time.
Yeah, and their haze program is doing all right. Mm-hmm. I enjoy their hazies a lot.
Definitely.
Man. Yeah.
That was the only thing I really saw this week. It's kind of getting a weird time because holidays, there's holiday parties, there are can releases, they're just like the general stuff that's happening around this time.
Yeah, a lot of folks are just dialing in, mm-hmm. getting ready for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Basically, right? Yeah, couple of announcements like Smells Like a Beer Fest, that's the Microphone Annual Invitational.
Okay.
That data set for April 27th.
Is that the one with like 30 people?
No, that was the that was Microphobab.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, we invited so few people that we just posted all their names to the Facebook
page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But this was like a big invitational. So this for a long time, April, the end of April, it was their anti-Dark Lord party.
Yeah.
It used to be called Pale Pauper. Kind of like as a knock on Dark Lord, because Dark Lord was over the top. They're like, you know, this is the Pale Pauper, right? Mm-hmm. It was like a Microphone and Sketchbook. And then now that it's at Microphone, it's called Smells Like a Beer Fest. Of course, Smells Like Bean Spirit is like their flagship stout.
Yeah.
So it's named after that. Speaking of Dark Lord Day was announced. It'll be May 19th again.
Is the Smells Like Teen Spirit also around April? Or?
No, it's around the old Dark Lord Day date.
Oh, okay, yeah, so yeah. Earlier. So,
so it's earlier.
Last weekend of March or third weekend of, oh,
yeah. Yeah, last weekend of April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, we should try to make it out for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for that.
There's all the New Year's stuff. I believe there's a Forbidden Root. New Year's party, there is Brew Year's Eve, yeah. There is I think a Revolution one, Peace always has one.
Half Acre does one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of New Year's Eve stuff going on.
I think I may go to one of those, I may just be overwhelmed and not do anything.
Yeah.
Damn.
There's also that.
All right, anything else on the calendar, or there's a couple news stories that popped up, especially today.
Yeah, man, an article ran in a Trib about Chicago and how Chicago is the beer capital of America, man.
Woo-hoo!
Man, that happened quick.
167, right?
Yeah, 167. I guess the ranking is 158 for Denver, Seattle 153, San Diego 150.
Right, so one.
Wow.
167 includes, it's Chicagoland, right? They're basing on...
The metro region.
Right. They're basing it on zip code size. Mm-hmm. I believe this is how it was calculated by the Brewers Association. Like our zip codes are much smaller in Chicago and like LA and New York because there's just more people, so you need more zip codes. Mm-hmm. So where Denver, you know, just it spreads out more, but there's less people, but there's less breweries than Chicago. Chicago land. So this goes all the way, whatever is in the Brewmiscuous book is probably like pretty. If you're not in that, you might not be in the 167. Man. Sorry, Brookstone.
Argus.
Argus might be counted.
I was at before the show, because I was I was off today. I was at for lunch. I went to Big Star on because I just took the Damon bus up.
Nice.
So I'm at Big Star. I got a shot and a beer, and I noticed that Argus is on the tap. They got a red ale on tap at Big Star.
What?
But Argus is not in the Pure Biscuits book. It's so weird. It's funny though, man.
The only place you can get Argus on tap
is that Big Star. Wow. Yeah. Oh man, how about this list though, man? Because where to go? Yeah. So on that list, fifth and sixth were L.A. and New York, and you know I can remember like 2015-ish, right? You know we were meeting some dudes from L.A. and they were saying like, oh, the laws are starting to change. There's only 11 breweries. And the same thing for New York. They were saying there's not a lot of breweries in New York. You know, and now, like, in a five-year period, they've got over 140 breweries, both of those towns.
Yeah.
I remember clearly thinking how odd it was in 2015 that they only had, like, you know, less than 20 breweries, both of those places.
Right. Well, New York was a hard one because the size you needed to typically start a brewery, that's gotten much smaller now because you can have a small brewery and still make it.
Yeah.
The rent is so expensive, you needed so much space to have a brewery to make it. So I think that, not even nano, but they just like smaller brew pub tap rooms have taken off. You can have more breweries and not take up as much space and need as much, I guess, paying as much in rent.
Yeah.
So I think that's helped.
Yeah. I know crews, there are crews locally that like count the number of breweries and separate them from city proper versus burbs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what that count is. Not that it matters, but I'm just curious.
Right.
Yeah, but according to this article, in Chicagoland, in 2013, Chicagoland had 62 breweries, Chicago and the burbs. So in what, like a five-year span, it went from 62 to 167. Holy fuck,
right,
Brad.
Well, when I first did Bike the Breweries over a decade ago, Chicago had 10 breweries and basically, it was 11 because three of those were Goose Island. You would have had Goose Island Fulton, which you couldn't go to, Wrigley, and Claiborne.
Yeah.
So that was just Chicago proper.
I'm not even a Cubs fan, but Wrigley was still my favorite. Mm-hmm. Wrigley had a patio where the other ones did not. Well, you know, Fulton had a dock. They throw a dock party.
Yeah.
But Wrigley had a real patio, so you could do like a nice Oktoberfest there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and there was home to Night of Living Ales, too.
Mm-hmm. I recently came across an article talking about like Chicago breweries and the rise, gave Goose Island credit. It did not include Two Brothers, and I feel like that is just discrediting.
It's blasphemous.
Right. Two Brothers has been around for a long time, and they pushed craft beer in a way that Goose Island was doing. Like, I think very similar, same audience. Like it was trying to appeal to the masses, where Goose Island or not, a Half Acre was very much more cool kid beer.
Yeah, Two Brothers is always overlooked, and it kind of bothers me. But then they make—we're talking about old man beers, right?
Yeah.
they make safe, approachable, delicious beers, and it gets overlooked for whatever reason. But I. Two Brothers, I appreciate you, so you guys know.
But that's crazy just how much Chicago has grown. Portland still wins in the per capita.
Correct.
But, yeah, that's I think that just shows that Chicago can hold more breweries, too. I love that either the Trib article or the Brewers article or the Brewers Association article mentioned that Chicago is home to a wider variety of styles than somewhere like Portland where, as I said last week, there's like four West Coast IPAs on tap at every place. Like, you go to a Chicago bar or tap room, there probably is two IPAs, maybe two normal IPAs, and then a New England or a old school IPA and a New England IPA. We run a bigger spread of styles of beer.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually didn't appreciate that until, like, I would hear your stories, and then, like, I've been to, like, places, like, I've been to Minneapolis, you know, And, you know, we make runs up to Milwaukee. And then when you do the comparison, Chicagoans love leaving Chicago, right?
But they love Chicago.
But we love Chicago, but we like getting the fuck out of Chicago from time to time. But when you go to some of these other towns, man, yeah, to your point, there's no depth of brewery like there is here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something we should hang our hat on. Something we should be proud of.
Right, especially like we're recording down the street from Metropolitan, which they only do lagers.
Yeah.
Not many breweries in other states or cities that are like, we just do lagers. We've been doing it for 10 years. What's up?
Yeah. What's up? Yeah. And speaking of them, man, their 10-year anniversary party is coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up, what, next month now, right?
Right, yeah. It's going fast.
Good for them, man. Throwing a big blowout bash in January.
Yeah.
You know, I think between them and Haymarket doing their bash and Dark Side at Emporium, I think January is going to be all right, man. It'll be March. And
still 30.
It'll be April before you know it, man.
Yeah,
we're gonna be just fine.
Awesome. I believe that's the only big news story.
I think so.
I came across. So let's get out of here. We got one more episode before Christmas. Next week we're gonna be over at Twisted Hippo.
Wow, is that next week?
That's next week.
Oh man, it's gonna be so good.
So we're gonna get a little preview of. Today or yesterday was their first day brewing at the place.
Yeah,
right?
At a very an interesting spot, you know. And, you know, we'll probably talk about it on the show next week. I'm actually excited to go over there, man.
Yeah.
Because we see them all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll be over there next week. We won't be talking about events because there really aren't a lot of events. So it's good to be focusing on the brewery and what's happening over there. So cool. Keep a lookout for that.
Right on.
But Nick, when we're not here drinking gingerbread stout, where can people catch you?
Right on, man.
Or gingerbread brown. Sorry, not stout.
I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, we're always posting lots of photos there on the stories as well. So check that out. Facebook, website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. Yeah, sounds good. That's it. That's all I got. All right, we're out.
Cheers.